All right, strap in for this one, because today we are diving deep into a case that really makes you think about paternity fraud and the law. We're talking about Hodge v. Craig.
Yeah, Hodge v. Craig.
A 2012 Tennessee Supreme Court case.
Really interesting case, too. It set a precedent in Tennessee.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this was the first time that paternity fraud was recognized as a legal claim.
Fascinating. And this all starts, well, it goes back to 1991, right?
That's right.
We have high school sweethearts, Chadwick Craig and Tina Marie Hodge.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a surprise pregnancy, kind of a whirlwind romance situation. They get married December of 91.
Yep.
And their son, Kyle, is born in June of 92.
Sounds like a pretty typical family, right? And Craig really steps into that father role. He even adopts Hodge's daughter from a previous relationship.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, very involved. But then fast forward.
Here's the twist.
They get divorced in 2001. Mm. Craig's diligently paying child support. He's close with Kyle.
Mm.
And then a 2007 DNA test reveals that he is not Kyle's biological father.
Right. Can you imagine?
Oh, can you imagine? Like, what would your reaction be?
I mean, talk about a bombshell. Right. Betrayal? I mean, he felt incredibly betrayed, and understandably so.
Oh, for sure.
So he decides to sue Hodge for intentional misrepresentation of paternity.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's not just about, like, hurt feelings, you know, it's years of child support, the emotional investment, you know, raising a child that he thought was his own.
Wow. I mean, that is a lot to process. So
yeah.
What happens, you know, does this argument hold water? What happens in court?
Well, the trial court actually sided with Craig.
Okay.
And they awarded him over $134,000.
Wow.
And that included back child support, emotional distress, and even legal fees.
Wow. So it seems like a pretty clear-cut win for him at that point.
It seemed that way, right?
Yeah.
But there's always the Court of Appeals steps in.
Oh, no.
And reverses most of the award.
Really?
Yeah. And their reasoning. You can't retroactively modify child support.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Even if it was based on a lie.
All right. So this is where the Tennessee Supreme Court has to come in and kind of untangle this whole mess.
You got it.
Okay. So this case raised some big, big questions.
Huge questions. First of all, does Tennessee even recognize paternity fraud as a valid claim?
Right.
And if it does, how do you balance that with this rule about, you know, you can't go back and modify past child support orders?
Right.
It's tricky.
Yeah, yeah. So let's break those questions down.
Okay.
First, does Tennessee law even acknowledge paternity fraud?
So the Tennessee Supreme Court looked at this and decided yes. They said, yes, it does. And they actually dove into the concept of intentional misrepresentation.
Okay.
And they said, essentially, there has to be a knowingly false statement, right?
Right.
Made with the intent of making someone rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that reliance has to cause harm.
Okay.
So in Craig's case, they found that Hodge's actions actually ticked all of those boxes.
Okay. So that's really interesting. So they're acknowledging that, you know, the times have changed. We have DNA testing now. And the law needs to kind of catch up with this, these situations where, you know, paternity is intentionally misrepresented.
Right. It was acknowledging that these family relationships are complex and that the law has to keep up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and here's the kicker.
Good boy.
The court, they didn't stop there.
Uh-oh.
They had to figure out, okay, how do you deal with these damages?
Right, right.
How do you compensate someone for all this child support they paid when it was all based on this lie?
Right. And like the Court of Appeals, you know, said, you can't just erase that, especially when a child's well-being is involved.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did they do? How did they fix that?
So the Tennessee Supreme Court, they had to get creative here.
Okay.
They said, okay, child support payments made before the divorce and those made after the divorce.
Okay.
They're different.
Okay.
Because after the divorce, Craig wasn't legally obligated to pay any more child support when he filed the lawsuit.
I see. I see.
So any damages they award wouldn't be messing with that existing order, right?
Oh, okay. So they kind of separated the fraud itself from like the existing child support system.
Exactly. They said, we're not touching the original child support order, but you're going to be held accountable for the lie that led to it.
Mm.
And that's why this case is such a big deal. It set a precedent in Tennessee for handling these really, really complicated paternity fraud cases.
It seems like they really tried to walk that line, you know, to balance the rights of the person who was deceived with the need to have stability in these child support orders.
Absolutely. And that's really just the beginning of this legal deep dive. There's so much more to unpack about how the court reasoned through this and what this means for family law going forward.
Yeah, for sure.
But to do that, we need to really look at what intentional misrepresentation actually means and how reliance damages fit into all of this.
All right, I am ready.
Let's get into it. Welcome back. As we continue to unpack Hodge v. Craig, you know, we were just talking about how the Tennessee Supreme Court, they actually said, yeah, you know what, paternity fraud is a legal claim, and then they somehow figured out how to award these damages without actually changing past child support orders.
It's a pretty amazing feat.
It really is.
If you think about it, you're trying to balance the rights of this person who was, you know, essentially lied to with the need to protect the child's best interest. So
you said it's like walking a tightrope, right?
Totally.
And I think to really get this, to really understand the court's logic, we need to look closer at the specifics.
Yeah.
You know, the court, they emphasize, look, we're recognizing this as a legal claim, but we're not just saying every past expense can be recouped.
Right. So it's not like anyone who, you know, years later finds out that they're not the biological father can suddenly demand repayment for every diaper and birthday gift.
Yeah, no, it's not a free-for-all, right?
Yeah.
So the court, they really honed in on these child support payments that were made after the divorce was finalized.
Okay.
Because they said, look, these are different from, like, the expenses before the divorce.
Okay.
Because, you know, at the time of the lawsuit, Craig wasn't legally obligated to be making those payments anymore.
Right, right. That's a really subtle distinction.
It is subtle, but it's so important.
Yeah.
Because it allowed them to hold Hodge accountable for this without, like, you know, totally messing with that finality of these child support orders.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings up, I mean, this idea of reliance damages comes in here.
Right. Absolutely.
Because the court wasn't trying to, like, punish Hodge for what she did. It was more about, like, compensating Craig for the harm that he suffered because he relied on this false statement about paternity.
Right. It was making things right. Trying to make things right for Craig without actually rewriting history. And
that's a difficult thing to do.
Absolutely. They had to, you know, juggle all these legal concepts and come up with something that was fair and practical.
I bet this case has been, like, referenced a lot since 2012.
Oh, yeah. Hodge v. Craig, it's had huge ripples, not just in Tennessee, but...
Really?
Yeah. It's been cited in so many cases that deal with paternity fraud. And the reasoning that they use, especially this whole idea of reliance damages, has come up in other areas of law as well.
It's really amazing how this case started with paternity and child support, and it's now impacting, you know, these broader legal principles like fraud and reliance.
It really shows you how common law, you know, which is based on precedent and custom, how it adapts to new challenges in society.
This is such a great example of how, like, DNA testing, you know, it really forced the courts to deal paternity fraud in a way that they never really had to before.
Right. It's like this whole new world.
It makes you wonder, like, what other legal issues are going to, like, pop up as technology keeps advancing.
Oh, I know. Think about it. Artificial intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Could we see these same, like, reliance damages arguments being used in cases involving self-driving cars or medical algorithms? I mean, it's mind-blowing to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the law is constantly trying to play catch up and trying to, like, stay ahead of all of these advancements. And
you could say that.
Yeah.
But that's also what makes the law so interesting, right?
It's, yeah,
constantly changing. It's reflecting our values as they evolve, all the complexities.
And, I mean, Hodge v. Craig it's the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
It grapples with all of these really fundamental questions, you know, family, trust, accountability,
mm-hmm,
in the face of new technology and new social norms. But what does all of this mean for, you know, someone who's practicing law?
That's the question, right?
Yeah. How does a case like this actually affect legal strategy?
Well, Hodge v. Craig really highlights some important things for legal professionals to consider. Like, how should you advise clients when there might be paternity fraud involved?
Right.
You know, how can you protect their interest? And how should you draft legal documents in light of this case? That's a lot to think about.
So, as we wrap up our deep dive into Hodge v. Craig, you know, we've been through the facts of the case, this legal maze, you know, what the court decided. But
yeah,
something else really stuck with me, you know, going through all of this.
Oh, what's that?
It's the human element of it all,
uh-huh,
you know. Beyond all the legal stuff, you know, the precedents, this is about real people.
Right.
It's a relationship that was, you know, broken by this deceit and just the ripple effect that it had.
Absolutely.
It really makes you think about the emotional impact of this kind of betrayal, not just for the couple, but, you know, what about the child?
Right, you're right. We can get so focused on the legal back and forth that we kind of forget about that human aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the court, their decision, it gave Craig some justice, But it doesn't erase the pain, the confusion, especially for Kyle. I mean, he grew up thinking Craig was his biological father.
That's a really good point. And it makes you think about like how DNA testing is changing everything. You know, it's like opening Pandora's box sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Once that truth is out there.
Yeah.
It's hard to like put things back together the way they were.
And it brings up so many questions for the future, you know, like
how
are courts, how are lawmakers going to deal with all these paternity fraud cases as DNA testing gets even easier?
Right.
Are we going to see new laws specifically about this?
Yeah. And how can we, like, as a society, approach these really sensitive situations and make sure everyone's okay, especially the children?
Right. Those are tough questions. And I don't think there are any easy answers.
Nah.
But Hodge v. Craig does give us kind of a framework, a framework for thinking about all of this.
Right.
It shows us how we can try to balance accountability
mm-hmm.
while also recognizing that families, they come in all shapes and sizes
yeah.
and the legal system needs to keep up.
It does. It really does. And, you know, one thing's for sure.
What's up?
We're going to be talking about Hodge v. Craig for a long time.
Oh, I agree. It's a landmark case. And it shows us how common law can change and rise to the occasion.
Right. And at the end of the day, you know, the law isn't just about, like, these abstract ideas.
Yeah, it's not.
It's about real people trying to figure out life.
Yeah.
And sometimes those real people end up in court, you know?
That's right.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Hodge v. Craig.
It does.
I hope this was helpful for everyone, you know, really understanding this case and what it means for family law.
And beyond, right. I mean, it goes beyond family law.
Absolutely. And, you know, the law never stops changing.
It's always evolving.
So it's cases like this that really remind us that we all have to stay informed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep asking those tough questions and thinking about how the law can really serve us as our society keeps changing. So
that's a great takeaway.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for listening.